This morning's public reading is from Jeremiah chapter 7. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. And as you know, we just finished up a mini-series, some 16 lessons, sermons on the prophet Jeremiah, entitled Jeremiah, Prophet, Priest, and Patriot. And that's on our church website if you so desire to take a journey with the prophet Jeremiah. But this morning, I'd like to read in our hearing verses 29 to 34. So we're going to wrap up Jeremiah chapter 7 here this morning. This is God's word. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name, to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hemon, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Topheth, nor the valley of the son of Hemon, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Topheth till there be no place. And the carcasses of his people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the streets of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Please be seated and may God bless his word. Well, for those of you that have taken a journey with us, or followed along with us, sermon by sermon, lesson by lesson, in the 16 lessons and sermons that we just concluded last week on Jeremiah, prophet, priest, and patriot, you're not going to need too much commentary from me when it comes to describing, if you notice in verse 29, what does God call those that were contemporaneous with Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel as well? How does God describe those that were living when Nebuchadnezzar was eventually going to invade Judah three times, with the third invasion in 586 BC, the final blow, the final knockdown, when temple and city, the temple of Solomon, and all of its grandeur and beauty would be no more, and the city and the walls no more? He calls it what? The generation of his wrath. And notice, God was not referring to a generation not yet born. God was referring to the people that were living in the exact same time frame as our prophet Jeremiah. Just like when Jesus, on numerous occasions in all four Gospels, he refers to the generation of his own time frame. This evil and adulterous generation seeketh after signs. Well, Jesus in that instance wasn't referring to any Israelite or any Jew today living in Palestine in the year 2022. Jesus was referring to the people to whom he saw face to face. And that is the same understanding in Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus said that this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled that he delineated in the Olivet Discourse. What generation was he talking about? Not according to Hal Lindsey, not according to Mr. Scopefield, not according to Dallas Theological Seminary, not according to J.N. Darby, that twist the scriptures like a wax nose on a statue. Jesus was referring again, the proper usage of that term, to the people to whom he was addressing. And so here we find the same term, okay? God is calling those who were contemporaneous with Jeremiah And Jeremiah lived at the same time with good old Daniel and good old Ezekiel. He called them a generation of his wrath. And you can see that in verses 32 to 34. Notice what he says. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of what? Slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet, now notice, till there be no place. You know what that means? There isn't going to be enough ditches to dig to bury the corpses. I call that raft. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and of the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away or shoo them away. Doesn't verse 33 have similar language that you find in the book of Revelation? When, in chapter 17 and 18 of Revelation, when the harlot Babylon is fallen, God invites the fowls of the air to pick her meat down to the bone. Same imagery, same apocalyptic language John borrows from Jeremiah. See, let the Bible define Bible. Okay? Verse 34, then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem. Now, what is all common with these things? The voice of mirth, voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. What's all part and parcel of that? Festive, happy time, joyful time, a time of friends and family gathering together for special ceremonies, like a wedding. A marriage. Notice in verse 34, there's no doom and gloom. But what is God telling the prophet Jeremiah to tell the people? That when Nebuchadnezzar, when he would come, and when he was done with the city and with the temple, there would be no brass bands playing under the gazebo. No parades, no festivities, no three-day weekends, nothing but what? Desolation, nothing but the sound of shovels digging deeper into the earth to make room for more dead bodies. Well, let's go back to verse 29. Cut off thy hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. Cutting off the hair. There are many ancient cultures, like, for instance, the Chinese culture. When many Chinese came to this country to help build the railroads, many of the men had a certain social status that was quite prominent. They had their pigtail all the way down their back. That was very important to a Chinese male. What did our people do to insult them? They cut it off. To insult, to degrade, to humiliate. And so that same image is here. Cut off thy hair, Jerusalem, and cast it aside. The baldness of the hair, like the adulterous woman. What did they do in ages past when a woman was caught in adultery? If she lived, they would normally brand her with the letter A on her forehead. What was done to her hair? It was shaven. A shaven woman was a sign of a woman of ill repute. Ostracized, shame, humiliation, cast away. And so God uses the same image. He says, take up a lamentation. And you get the book of Lamentation, which follows. And you read that. It's so woeful. And we did in our series in Jeremiah. Did we not take a few moments to look at the book of Lamentations? And look at that woeful cry of Jeremiah as he laments the rubble all around him and the sound of the shovels digging a bit deeper, probably hitting bedrock. And what did God say? They shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. No more room for a cemetery. And then finally, look at verse 31. We ought to get we ought to get this settled here this morning. Abortion is not an American crime. Infanticide of the killing of children, beloved, has gone back probably when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. First murder was Genesis chapter 4. And then by Genesis chapter 6, 8, and 9, God is moved to do what? Wipe the entire planet clean with a global flood. But notice this. This is God's people, covenant people. They have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom. To what extent? To what purpose? To burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. Now today, we're more sophisticated. We take a young lady who's in dire straits, pay cash, no check, no paper trail, and the parents or the boyfriend put enough pressure on this poor girl who don't know her left hand from her right. They put money down to murder. That's an assassination. Murder for hire. So the parents and the boyfriend who were pressuring her are guilty, culpable of murder. The young girl is a murderess. The doctors and the nurses and those who assist in the abortion clinic, accomplices to murder, assassination, killing for hire. That's what assassination is. You hire someone to bump someone off. So we paid the doctor to bump off the baby. But we do it in sterile conditions. And it's legal. But notice here, these were children who were already born. And how in the world could a mother and a father, especially the mother who bore this child, how in the world, now a pagan we can understand, but how in the world would a Jewish mother who is in covenant relationship with the true and living God take a child and toss it in the flame? And what does God say? Number one, I never commanded such a thing. And what else does God say? It never, never entered into the bosom of the mind or the heart of the Almighty. Dread the thought of the God who was revealed in Scripture would very capriciously order, for no good reason, his people to abort their children by tossing that child, which was alive, in the flame. What does God say in verse 34? The land shall be desolate to the point you are going to run out of dirt for a cemetery. And therefore, with the bodies left on the ground, the buzzards will do my work. May God choose to bless His word.